Aww. I'm just kidding.
No.
Let's talk about betrayal, Ian.
Let's talk about betrayal.
I want to know why you feel betrayed by something that has not and might not ever happen.
I was kidding. I was kidding. No, I was. I wasn't that way that's like not kidding. No, I was totally kidding. It just seemed funny to me.
Really? It seemed so funny to you that you felt like talking about it ad infinitum when I was not there during a poker night?
Oh, I do that because then when Kristen tells you, it makes you think it's more serious.
She totally assumed you were serious.
Of course. Don't you know about doing that? About laying the seeds into things for the friend?
So I know all about laying seeds, Ian.
Yeah. Oh, clearly, yes. Oh, not a lot. Not a heck of a lot.
What's happening in the world of movies per Ian?
Ooh. I don't know. I got those tickets. I gotta start using those.
Doesn't Watchmen look badass? I'm so psyched, dude. I'm gonna be hugely let down by this movie. I don't believe that.
A great Watchmen trailer in front of it.
I'm getting sick of trailers for Watchmen. I kind of feel like because it's basically like he's shown us at least 80% of the action in the movie at this point, pretty much.
I don't think it matters. I just want to see if he can make it cohesive and interesting.
Yeah, I'm interested in the awe factor of being able to solve the problems.
I haven't disliked anything he did. It's all hot to badmouth 300.
Mm-hmm.
I greatly enjoyed 300 when I saw it the first time. It was a visceral.
I can't cite anything that's actually bad about it. It just wasn't a movie I really liked that much. I got kind of tired of it, and I got kind of it's the style.
I was wowed by it. I was wowed by it when I first saw it. I loved the virulent racism.
Mm-hmm.
I liked all of it. It was great.
The homoerotic stuff.
I loved the homoeroticism. Everyone had game over abs.
The green screen
all the way through it. Everyone had game over abs
all over the place.
Yeah, it's like, game over.
Game over. and I really, considering how little I really enjoy the Romero zombie movies,
mm-hmm.
I really liked the Dawn of the Dead remake.
Dude, that was so good.
It was. Like, I was shocked by when I saw it, because I really liked 28 Days Later. And so... And I saw, you know, ads for Dawn of the Dead, and I was like, dude, whatever, I didn't like the original that much, you know, this is just going to be somebody's rock and roll version of it, whatever. And I saw it, and I was like, that was really awesome. I was really surprised.
It just was the rock and roll version? Or Mark has it. Mark and I will probably watch it and review it.
Check it out, man.
At some point.
You haven't seen it?
No, I haven't seen it. I'm not a huge
It's pretty wild and crazy.
I'll definitely check it out.
Dude, that movie's great. I saw it in theaters.
I know how to make money in this world.
You write rock and roll remakes?
Write a novel that has zombies in it,
mm-hmm.
because it will immediately be optioned. Some guy just wrote...
World War Zombie or whatever?
No. Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. Which is, he took the Jane Austen premise, and he said he changed 80% of it to add zombies into it. But he literally, he was like, it was the easiest thing I ever did. It was awesome. and the book hasn't been released yet, and they optioned it for like $1 million. Because somebody was flipping through for like a list of like books coming out, they're like, what's this with zombies in the title? Sweet! Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, that's really funny. This is going to be really funny.
Oh my god.
And apparently there's other books coming out that are like Wuthering Heights with zombies, and like Jane Eyre with zombies. Like, seriously, like there's...
It's just supposed to be like Victorian era, but then how do you deal with zombies when you don't have... And you have like muskets? Blender bust.
Yeah, and zombies.
And zombies.
the guy said he had the idea because there's a part in Pride and Prejudice where like it was set during a war, and all the British soldiers should have been off fighting the war, but for some reason when some people came to their house there was tons of soldiers to protect them at one part. And the guy was like, I read that and I was like, that's retarded. All those soldiers would have been off fighting the war. So he was like, What would logically be the reason why there'd still be soldiers protecting the people in the countryside? And he's like, zombies. There's a zombie outbreak. So you have to leave some soldiers behind, even though you're fighting the war, right?
I can see one movie that, set in that Victorian era zombie picture being interesting, but not like 10.
Out of Africa? Which one?
No, the Victorian era.
Oh, okay, all right, yeah.
or whatever. And the Jane Austen stuff isn't Victorian. It's Edwardian.
It's Edwardian. Yeah.
That's what I mean.
It's pre-Victorian.
But then you do the steampunk zombie one. That would be Victorian.
It would have to be, yeah.
Steampunk airplane zombie?
Yeah, airplane zombie.
Woohoo!
Pretty psyche, right?
Awesome.
Oh, mercy.
So
we just watched Rocketeer. Not just watched, but like I saw you mentioned that you watched it recently.
I watched it about a month ago.
And you mentioned how much you thought that you thought it would have been total nostalgia and you'd hate it, but you thought no, it's still really solid.
Fantastic.
And I had been meaning to watch it for a while, so I watched it, and I agree.
I love movies set in L.A.
in the 30s.
30s, 40s, 50s, whatever.
Yeah.
I love L.A. Confidential. Anything set in that time period, where L.A. was like... It was getting big. Exactly. It was getting big. Chinatown, all that stuff is great.
Yeah.
It really is. There's something about L.A. in that era that's like really...
It's almost better for noir than like New York.
Totally.
It's in a weird way. I mean, I guess you get all the Raymond Chandler stuff and
it's,
stuff.
It's like, wide open and it's
double
seems
indemnity
like,
and things.
As much in like a New York thing as somebody could slip away into the mist or like the steam coming out of a sewer. Like, oh, look, he's gone.
Yeah.
The L.A. thing is almost creepier because like people come out of nowhere and you're at like...
Yeah.
The part where he's checking out the drainage and stuff like that in Chinatown is always creepy because there's just like suddenly dudes out there shooting at him, you know? Like, and who's going to stop him? There's no cops around there.
Playing on that, I mean, I guess we can get more thematic in this episode and I'd love to do that. It's the whole thing about like No Country for Old Men when he sees the light from...
Wait, let me write this down so I can talk about it in the Time Standard podcast.
Yeah. Betrayer! Jacuse!
I'm going to write this down on a feudal podcast.
No!
That's great.
Oh, right?
Do it.
And our stock
and then
just,
as
we were about
as
to
as
go
I read
pop
my notes, they're going to be like, what's this? And I'm like, oh, nothing. That's what I'll say to the guys. I'll light it on fire and I'll wipe my butt with the burning.
Same thing. But no, I mean, I get what you mean. Because like in No Country for Old Men, there's the lights from far away. The idea that there's something nefarious and that it's far, but it's like,
but
it's like you can't really run away from it.
You can't run away from it.
You're right there and
you're
seeing it. And yeah, that's interesting. But yeah, definitely, I was reading all about it. I guess, Stevens, I don't remember his first name. David Stevens, I think maybe, is the guy that did the comic book. And he kind of was really a big fan of the Commando, Cody, Indiana Jones type stuff. I mean, the same stuff that the Indiana Jones guys were basically referencing, those old serials. And that was where he came up with the idea for a test pilot or a stunt pilot finding this thing. And it sounds like what's happening in the comic has this, like, references this other character that's in other comics. I don't know. I just read the wiki.
Batman?
Real quick. No. It's... name all of them. No, it's...
Superman?
Doctor something.
Strangelove?
It's not Doctor Strange.
Doctor Doom?
But it's...
Dr. Zhivago?
Something. I am completely lost now. It doesn't matter. Not
like I have a computer. Anyway, the comics, the one thing they really differed in was it was very much more adult-oriented. The Betty Page thing, yeah. So basically, like, this girl was supposed to be a porn star, not like an up-and-coming actress.
Yeah.
She was up-and-coming, but of a different type.
Yeah. Red eyes.
Gosh dang you, Blaine. Here.
I'm sorry. Kristen, I'm sorry.
Blaine's turning into an after-school special.
When she wakes
right
up nauseated tomorrow, I'll be like, sorry, gosh, Blaine ate all the lemon drops.
Blaine's like an after-school special when he showed up. The colors, children.
But, the Rocketeer is really great. I don't know. There's something about... The third act kind of falls apart a little bit.
In
most movies,
it moves quickly though. I mean, I don't really have a problem with it. It's just like boom, 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 and the Howard Hughes stuff was neat and worked, and kind of like.
I remember the Nazi cartoon.
The Nazi
cartoon
was cool.
It was awesome.
There's a Zeppelin in it, which is awesome.
You love that. There's Art Deco.
I love Zeppos and
there's some Frank Lloyd Wright thrown in there.
Definitely, and
If there was hotel lobbies and a train, you'd be psyched.
Exactly. I was just missing the trains in the hotel lobbies, basically. There was a nice... the South Seas Club was good.
South Seas Club was awesome. I loved the little diner. That was great.
Oh, the diner was also cool. another good... And the airfield.
Mm-hmm.
Probably my favorite was the airfield.
Just
the old airfield. And the old... that one guy that always played... He plays like a child molester in every movie, except for in this one, he plays Bigelow. And he's like, park the truck way far away.
He's the guy who plays... He's the other detective in The Big Lebowski who follows him around. He says he's a brother Shamus.
Oh,
I'm
man.
A brother Shamus. Okay. I love your work. You're playing both sides against each other. And he's like, stay away from my special lady. He calls her his lady friend. He's like, she's not my lady friend. No. He says, like, your special lady. He's like, she's not my special lady. She's my lady friend.
He was the pawn shop owner in The Crow that kept going, shit on me. Shit on me. And he was in an episode of The Equalizer as a child molester, I think.
Nice.
And The Equalizer, Robert McCall to take care of him. Uh-huh. Equalize him. Might have been Richard Jordan at that point.
I think he totally equalized him.
I think he did.
He neutralized them?
Yes. And, the visual effects are a little dated, I mean, but it's all blue screen, you know, stuff. Yeah. Done by, it was directed by the guy that did a lot of visual effects for Lucas before he got big, Joe Johnston.
Joe Johnston, yeah.
Maybe Jumanji and stuff like that. Jurassic Park 3. Good score. I like the score.
Yeah, I love the score.
The Horner stuff.
It's my favorite.
Some people complain, like, the greatest movie ever recently did Conan, and one of the guy that did it in his little comment section, I said something about how the score was great and stuff, and he's like, I don't know, I kind of prefer scores that kind of that don't jump out, that kind of like work within the film, and I'm like, well, I get that for some movies, boring, but dude. For fucking Conan, you want dun 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 dun.
Great scores are like, I gotta tell you, Horner, I will always kind of hate because of Titanic, and I really don't like the score for that, and I hate that his scores, you know, he basically wrote the theme to her terrible song and everything like that.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
But Braveheart is one of the best scores ever. It's really...
That was Horner?
Yeah, that was Horner, yeah.
Okay.
Dances with Wolves is fantastic. Like, this guy has done a handful of some of the best scores ever.
Star Trek 2 and Aliens? Yeah, I have both of those. Those are good. Those are actually really good scores. And Krull...
Uh-huh.
The best thing about Krull is the score. Commando.
It definitely wasn't the movie.
It wasn't the movie. Commando.
Right. Right.
Glory. He did Glory. Glory's got a really good score.
Glory's a great score, yeah.
But yeah, it was just the right kind of...
Anytime you have a movie you think is going to be Oscar nominated, your go-to guy is him.
I guess so, yeah.
For the most part, I think he kind of has to be.
I mean, they had the authenticity of the era and everything in this movie, and it really just worked great. It's just a quick little adventure story. And, like, the weirdest thing is, I remember going to see this movie in the theater, and I remember lines from this movie, and it's strange to me, like my whole life, pretty much.
You know, it's the weirdest thing. Weird thing is that I was obsessed with this movie. This was my brother as a kid. And we had a comic book that was a... like a novelization comic book of the movie.
Peter David.
It wasn't the actual thing. It was somebody who made a comic of the movie. And what's funny is, it bothered me. What bothered me the most about it was that in the comic, which was for kids, it was like a Disney comic for kids. Yeah. They had a lot of the same lines, except for they added more foul language than was actually in the movie. Like,
that's weird.
Like the part where what's his name? Sorvino was like, I may be like a dirty
Valentine,
crook. Maybe a dirty crook, but at least I'm American.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm a patriot.
I'm a patriot or something like that. And then they made him like in the comic, he goes like, I may be a crook, but at least I'm a damn patriot, you son of a bitch. like they add a bunch of stuff, like in like a bunch of important lines. The person who was adapting the comic was probably like, they didn't swear enough in this kid's movie. I'm gonna add some more swear words. And it was hilarious. Like all the way through it was like way more risque and swear, but it was like Disney's The Rocketeer on the cover. Like, I think we got it in Disneyland. That was where we got the comic book.
That's so weird.
Like Mickey Mouse flying alongside Rocketeer on the cover.
Well, it was. I think the reason that it didn't do so well is because it wasn't like a traditional Disney type movie. I mean, people get broken in half by that big guy who I'd completely forgotten about.
Oh, totally,
the big guy.
Yeah.
There's some real brutality in it.
I kind of agree with Nathan Raven, whatever it is, one of the writers on the AV Club does this thing called My Year of Flops, and he talks about The Rocketeer in one of them, and he always thought the main problem was Billy Campbell, because he's charming enough, but he's very bland, and you get that he's eager to do whatever, but there's nothing remotely flawed about him. He plays a bumbling dude or whatever, but the guy's like a matinee idol looking, you know, he was at least at that point. I mean, he's Billy Campbell, you know, like, nobody even knows who Billy Campbell is. I'm like, hey, it's Billy Campbell. And
from the Rocketeer?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're going to maybe remember from the Rocketeer, and maybe it's the bad guy who beat up Jennifer Lopez in that one movie.
Where that's right. He was in that, huh?
I don't know what else. You know, then he was in some show with some chick on ABC once. And
I remember that part, too. Yeah. With Cela Ward.
Yeah, exactly. Cela Ward. That's the one. Mm-hmm. That was the boring show. Uh-huh. I just remember it.
I have to know this stuff.
Yeah.
I can't be editor-in-chief of the Feudal Podcast unless I know all this crap. It's terrible.
How are you going to be betrayed unless you know enough to be betrayed, right?
See it coming. And then have it like just like phase off me. Mm-hmm. They're like, what? Over 9,000?
So anyway. Oh,
it's a meme.
Yeah, over 9,000.
Great.
Yeah.
No, it's from Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, I know.
Right, that's where it's a meme now.
I know.
I use it for everything like that. You say at least 100 or over 9,000.
No, I see what you mean. He was kind of unknown, and he is kind of, there's not a lot there. But I think that what they wanted with the, I mean, and Stevens, the guy who created the comic and stuff, was like, they both like fought for him, kind of. A bunch of other people turned it down and read for it. I guess Dennis Quaid turned it and read for it. Vincent D'Onofrio, I thought this was funny. D'Onofrio read for it and turned it down. And I'm like, well, they need to have two rocket packs for him, probably, right? I mean, come on, are you kidding me?
Oh, that's mean.
But he needs it. Anyone that would have turned this movie down,
it's
like,
I'm so tempted to buy that helmet online.
Oh, the helmet, the Rocketeer helmet. Yeah, the helmet is awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's really awesome.
I want that.
Oh, that they fought. They had to fight with Eisner.
I don't have $300. The
helmet.
Though.
Yeah, Eisner wanted like a more NASA looking helmet, and they're like, "No, the helmet needs to look this way." And then like the director was going to leave the project. He's like, "I'll bail if I don't get the helmet." And I think that works.
Eisner's like, "I'm trying to run a company into the ground."
Yeah, exactly.
Let me do it.
Let me run it into the ground. Damn it. No, I mean, I just like the Alan. I've always liked Alan Arkin, just about everything I've seen him in. And he's great in this movie. Like, for some reason, he's my favorite character in this movie. And there's a lot of, like, interesting. Timothy Dalton's a great bad guy. He's good in this. He's good in,
And Locke is Howard Hughes.
Hot Fuzz. Yeah, Locke as Howard Hughes is perfect.
He was perfect as Howard Hughes. I see him in anything, and I just think of him from Rocketeer.
Yeah, I don't know, because I see him,
Interesting.
Oh, yeah, Star Trek 2 is on. Con, R.I.P.
What if that's as angry as he got in it? Con.
Dude, that was another wow moment. Talk about wow moment. Not wow, but like all moments. Like, how are they going to solve this problem? When it's just like, Kirk knew it all over, you know? He knew he was going to be betrayed, but he was ahead of time. Because he's Kirk. You don't fuck with Kirk. He doesn't like to lose. It's great. Basically says, so are we fixed? And like, what do you mean? We're not fixed yet? He's like, yeah, we're fixed. Everything's cool. We're going to go blow those guys to smithereens. And then they took care of him. And you're like, this is Star Trek? And they're actually like having a fight? That's why 2 is the only really good movie.
What about 4?
With the whales?
Yeah.
4 is kind of fun. I'll give you that.
I hate 4.
But I'm not a fan of most of them. I'll watch them. I'm enough of a science geek. Or science geek, yeah. The good science in them. Right. I'm enough of a sci-fi geek that
I like the series of Next Generation ones that were all directed by Riker.
Riker, number one. Oh. He didn't do the first one, did he?
I don't know. He did a couple of them.
I think he did one or two of them. Yeah. Great.
I wonder, like, when they were... And then he did... They were getting, like,
then he did Goat Thunderbirds, right? Yeah.
They're like, who could do this? I know. Frakes. Jonathan Frakes.
Are you sure he's not doing a Ripley's Believe It or Not episode right now?
Yeah, really. Believe it or not, my eyes are this crooked.
No, I liked it. It's a good movie. It's a good one to revisit, people. Rocketeer. I give Rocketeer an A-.
A-. Yeah. Blaine, how was Push? Let's do it.
Do you want me to give it a grade?
We'll talk about Push a little bit.
No, just give it a grade without any discussion at all.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Let's start with, what was good about Push?
What were their mutant powers?
No, what was good about Push? Let's start with that.
Let's start with the premise. Give us the idea real quick.
Heroes?
It's heroes, right?
So it's X-Men.
It's heroes.
Yeah. It's more heroes.
Is there a Magneto? Well, my heroes is just X-Men, though.
It's not, though.
I don't watch the show. Do you watch the show?
I've seen the show exactly, and I know that it's not X-Men.
I keep waiting for people with
telekinetic powers, right?
It's all Akira then. It's all telekinetic.
No. There's other powers.
There's bleeders and there's
Some can see the future.
Those are seers. They drink of the
Watchers.
They drink the water of life.
Watchers.
Then can't they change the future too?
No, they can't change the future. Well, I guess.
So it's not like that one with Nicolas Cage?
Next.
Well, yeah, next. was there a good wig?
Did you think I would have rather watched?
Did he have a good wig in that
one? Could see the future in that. How was?
Did he have game over wigs?
How was Jimon Hansu?
He's great. I love him.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Did Anthony, how was Chris Evans? I hear he's a great actor.
I guess.
How was Dakota Fanning? Was she precocious?
Oh yeah.
I heard that.
No,
kinda,
she got drunk.
I heard they kind of sexed her up a little bit in it.
Like, oh yeah. She has like.
She's
colored 15. Hair, and then she got drunk, and she was like.
She's 15, right?
She's like, who wants to pork me? She's like 14.
Yeah, she's 14.
Oh my gosh.
A little too young.
All bets are off, though, huh? Yeah, in your opinion.
In my humble opinion, yes. She's too young.
You're going to take that unpopular position, huh?
How were all the bug-eyed people from the trailer? Like the bug-eyed red-haired guy and the bug-eyed Japanese guy.
Because that's like when they're doing their na-na-na-na-na power,
yeah, I hated that power so much. I was like so...
They're the ones who can like pop blood vessels and junk, right?
They like... They scream and then they break some glass.
Nice. Yeah.
So they're banshee?
Yeah. And then like... Then the people are like, ah...
Was the movie kind of like The Shadow?
What?
There was a lot of breaking of glass.
Was there a scene where someone took a knife and put it on the table?
I didn't like it.
And then Alec Baldwin went, oh, that knife.
That's my review.
So, okay, what was good about it? Let's start with that. So there's a girl in it. Who's that girl who's in all the movies? Like she was in that Somebody's Calling Me, and Gonna Kill Me movie.
Oh, the dark-haired girl?
Yeah. What's her name? The French girl, whatever.
She's French?
Oh, yeah, yeah. She was she was the best part.
Right? Because she's kind of hot, right?
Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah.
She's French?
So she goes missing from this government agency of people with freaky powers, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so other people are going after her, and the only people that try to stop them are Chris Evans and Dakota Fanning, who sees that everyone's going to die, and he's like, no, they're not, because I'm awesome, right?
Yeah.
Is that the movie? Is that how it goes?
Does he jump out of a plane without a parachute?
No.
Do they run to catch a train and catch it at the last
Is there anything? No. Is there any part in it where you thought, this redeems this a little bit? Was there any cool parts? Were there any good action pieces?
Yeah,
good
action set pieces?
Was there any interesting ideas in it?
Visuals? Color schemes?
Not just visuals, but ideas.
Yeah,
there's some interesting stuff.
I mean, basically, you've got this philosophy of like a power struggle, right? If there's these people that do have these innate powers,
it was basically like Jumper. You know how, some of it looked good,
and then other parts you're like,
you're just
why
like,
did they make this movie?
Yeah.
You guys both retroactively decided you liked Jumper.
No, I liked that the character was really messed up, and I didn't know for sure if they made him like that on purpose or it was bad filmmaking and Hayden Christensen combined, which it might have been. But his character
I've
was
seen it now
supremely
and,
selfish.
I think that they did that on purpose.
Remember, like,
you couldn't not notice
that. What did he say?
I don't know.
If I was an asshole like you or some shit like
chump
that.
Like
yeah.
You.
He said, chump like you. Chump. Chump like
I,
you.
Any chump off
then
the
there's
street.
That line in Wanted.
Yeah, I was a chump like you once, a worthless pile of crap who couldn't jump and steal money and not save people who were drowning in Katrina. That was my favorite part, was when it shows the people on the car floating down a river in Katrina, and he's like, he rolls his eyes. They're like, if only someone could reach those people. And he goes like this, like, I'm not gonna do it.
Well, he'd be showing a secret.
Some other
did,
person
right?
who can do this power, I think only I have, can do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just gonna sit here and count my monies. What is
monies? Jerk.
And what was bad about it?
Why did you see it?
I was like really bored.
What was bad about Push?
It was just... I don't know. It didn't really make much sense.
That's what I've heard.
It looks like it's just trying to capitalize on this like new emergence of comic book sci-fi geekdom.
They say that people use powers and stuff. They say that it has like an overabundance of exposition in it. Like it's too much story.
It's crazy complicated.
Yeah.
Like, because it's about... this stuff that you've never even heard of before. It's not like, you know,
about
X-Men kind of thing. It's not like, you know, Heroes where, you know, you have a... You can talk about it, you know, build characters and, like, you know, talk about powers and stuff.
Right.
Like, in this, like, they basically assume that you know everything about it.
That's kind of interesting.
And then they, like, talk about it, you know, like, in this really complicated...
So it hits the ground running and doesn't give you a, previously like, on Battlestar Galactica kind of thing. You just kind of have to figure it out.
Yeah.
I kind of like that sometimes. I like that about Ghost in the Shell. I like that about the Ghost in the Shell anime series, is that it just kind of starts and stuff's happening and you don't really know all the terminology or...
You kind of were forced to be more immersed to the point that it was confusing.
It didn't work in a 90-minute series.
This is a two-hour movie. Yeah. What's your grade?
I'd give it a B-.
B-.
D-?
B.
B is in Blaine.
You liked it, is what you're saying.
Blaine, that's...
Blaine minus.